I have been blessed by all three messages, and I thank you, brethren, for preaching the word to my soul. There's no other place I'd rather be than the house of the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we'll pick up our reading in verse 24. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also have I lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshipped the Lord there. And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. So that the barren hath borne seven, and she that had many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He had raised up the poor out of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among princes, and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he hath set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be in your house, O Lord, the house of the living God. Thank you, Lord, for the singing. Thank you, Lord, for your word. And we pray, Lord, as we look into your word, would you please, O Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Oh, Father God, open our understanding. And Lord, give us feet to run the way of thy commandments. Lord, we pray you give the power to preach and the power to receive your word, O Lord. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this prayer of Hannah, Lord, that's been recorded for us. For we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Hannah prayed. We would not know why she thus prayed if we had not the author of Samuel tell us in the previous chapter what took place. In this prayer, we have a prayer of thanksgiving and a prayer of praise. We see her worship and we see her admiration. She admires the Lord. Notice how she says in verse 1, it says, My heart is rejoicing. My horn exalts in the Lord. My mouth praises his salvation. Now Hannah is a woman of prayer. Chapter 1 reveals this. There is contention between Penina and Hannah. Yearly. Every time they come to offer the sacrifice, her adversary makes her life miserable. As a matter of fact, the writer says, She was in bitterness of soul. Now, read with me, just so we have a background to this. She is, in chapter 1, verse 10, she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord. As a matter of fact, the name Samuel reflects how she gave herself to prayer. Because I have asked them of the Lord. In verse 11 of chapter 1, she says, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed, and she asked, look, remember me, forget not thine handmaid, and give. That's her prayer. Now, Eli does not know and thinks that she is drunken. Verse 13 says, she spake in her heart. Now, notice that we have her prayer here revealed in chapter 1 and also in chapter 2. But she's speaking in her heart. Now, how does the writer of Samuel know what she prayed? It's the Lord. She's speaking before the Lord. She's pouring out her heart. She speaks in her heart, says verse 13, and only her lips move, but her voice was not heard. She is labeled as being drunken by Eli. Now, notice what it says in verse 15. And I answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. That is her life. So when we read further on in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the answered prayer comes, of course, in verse 19. At the end she says, and the Lord remembered her. Verse 20, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked him of the Lord. The Lord gave me exactly what I've asked. She returns to the temple and marked that the sons of Eli are sons of Belial, but that does not keep her from worshiping the Lord, bringing the sacrifice. She comes and she weans the child. Notice what she says. Verse 26 at the end. I'm that woman that stood here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed. And the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of Him. And she worships the Lord. And now we come to her prayer. In it, in chapter 2, we see her praising God's goodness. She's praising God's perfection and God's dealing with men. She worships His purity. She says so in verse 2, there is none holy as the Lord. She worships His power. There is not any rock like our God. She praises His knowledge. Says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge. She praises His justice. By Him actions are weighed. And I think through this prayer in chapter 2, she describes herself. First of all, she is a weak woman. She says in verse number 8, she being the poor, she said, He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill. And again, I remind you that it's a prerequisite to be heard of God to be poor and needy. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his fears. She is poor. She prayed, beloved, afterward, that is verse number 1, and Hannah prayed and said, that is after the Lord remembered her, after the Lord opened her womb and gave her the desires of her heart. Out of the abundance of her heart, she now speaks. Her lamentation is turned to joy. Beloved, it is good and proper to give thanks unto the Lord for all the benefits which He gives us. She is praised and it's thanksgiving. This is offered in prayer, along with a heart filled with gratitude for all the mercies He gives us. Now notice, whether Samuel was granted or not, that's not the question. Beloved, notice what she says in verse number 1. Whether Samuel was granted or not, I mean, he is granted, and all the felicity in Hannah's praise. But she says, look at verse 1. She says, "My heart rejoiceth not in Samuel, but in Him who gave Samuel." My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. You see, the writer of Proverbs says that a merry heart doeth good like medicine, but a broken spirit dryeth up the bones. See, our lives may be perhaps filled or contained many unanswerable questions. You know, the prophet Habakkuk and Asaph both deal with these two questions, the whys and the how longs. Why, Lord? Why? These are not rebel souls. They're inquiring, God, why? And the how long. These both belong unto our Lord. So perhaps our lives may have these questions, why and how long? Tears may inundate our pillows often. There may be tragedies and trials, beloved, which compass us as bees. We may say, as the psalmist, they compass me as bees. But the saints, as the conies, a feeble folk, have made their refuge this rock. While others seek for help and refuge, we may say, like Hannah, there is none like unto our God. This hidden manna has been the saints' fortitude and feeding for millennia. Men, women, and children have endured great trials and afflictions, beloved, because why? Verse number 1. Because they rejoice in God's salvation. Beloved, notice how she praises. Read with me, please. She says, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in your salvation." We see here her worship. Now rejoicing is worship. And rejoicing is an essential part of our worship. There's got to be thanksgiving. There's going to be rejoicing. There's going to be praise. There's going to be prayer. You see, beloved, she is doing all these things from the heart. Again, I remind you, it's from the heart. It's not in forms. It's not in letters. It's not in this. It's in the heart. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. But her worship continues, beloved, not just in praise and prayer and admiration. She proclaims His holiness, His power, His wisdom, His justice, and His sovereignty. She emphasizes the uniqueness of our God by the word none. Notice with me in verse number 2. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside Thee. And there is no other rock, neither is there any rock like our God. Her heart is not divided or seeking elsewhere. This is our God, Isaiah said. We have waited for Him. We will rejoice in His salvation. She praises His holiness. She praises His self-existence. She praises His independence. And she praises His protection. As a matter of fact, she lays down this for us, beloved, that the physical stability, the financial stability, the spiritual stability, the social stability, and the earth stability belong to our God. All these belong unto our God. It is He that sitteth upon in heaven and doeth according to His will among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say, what doest thou? The psalmist declares, and Paul also declares, that under the sun there is none righteous. He says, there is no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. That's what Paul says in the psalmist. But Hannah looks up to heaven and says, there is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. She begins by praising His holiness, which Moses declares, it's glorious. It's glorious. One thing have I desire of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord to behold His beauty. I remind you, it's not the decor, it's not the outward beauty. We're speaking about the tabernacle. Badger skins. A moving place. But there's a beauty in there. Because there will I meet with you. There. This is God's place. This is God's ordained place where He will meet with His people. And David sees a beauty that inhabits that place as that bird that we quoted this morning, as the sparrow, as the swallow, they see and hear a beauty inside that place. It's glorious. It's magnificent glory which makes the ground where He stands holy. When He came to Moses at the burning bush, Moses turned to see why the bush burned but was not consumed. And he turned to see, and the voice came and said, Moses, Moses, take off thy shoe. The place where thou standest is holy ground. What makes it holy, Moses? It's a desert. It's a bush. It's dirt. But the magnificent glory, our God descended, beloved, upon that ground. Later on, we read in the Gospels, and Peter recalls that this magnificent glory made His servants tremble at His presence. We were with Him, says Peter, at His transfiguration in that holy mount. It's an everyday mount. But something happened that day. The Holy One of Israel humbled Himself and abode with us. Isaiah looks up and says, woe is me. Mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Beloved, this glorious attribute that Hannah brings out is praised in heaven. The reason, she says, if you read with me in verse number 2, the reason there is none holy as Jehovah, because there is none beside Him. There is none beside our God. He's perfectly holy. He's immutably holy. His nature is holy, and we are reminded that we are to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. The Psalms contain some majestic Psalms. I believe it's from 95 and so on to 99, where they praise His holiness. Turn with me to Chronicles, please. Keep your place in 1 Samuel. We're going to return to see Hannah's prayer and praise. In 1 Chronicles, chapter 16, and 1 Chronicles 16, and verse number 7, and on that day David delivered first his psalm to thank the Lord into the land of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Verse 10. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, that seek the Lord. Verse 28, please, of that same chapter. He says, give unto the Lord. Ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. The world also shall be stable that it should not be moved. Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice, and let the men say among the nations, the Lord reigneth. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the fields rejoice, and all that there is therein. Then shall the trees of the wood sing out at the presence of the Lord, because He cometh to judge the earth. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And say, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to Thy holy name and glory in Thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever. And all the people said, Amen. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ said, if these shall hold their peace, the stones would cry out, Hosanna in the highest. Beloved, we don't truly understand what holy means. List what three times holy. It's beyond our understanding. But God is called the Holy One. His nature is holy. His name is holy. His temple is holy. His Son is called the Holy One, the Holy King. His Spirit is the Holy Ghost. This is the Holy Scripture. And holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. His promises are holy. His law is holy. All points to His holiness. Thou our pure eyes, says Habakkuk, to behold iniquity. And we see this holiness perfectly displayed at the cross. Because when our Savior uttered those words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The psalmist reveals later on, but thou art holy. So Hannah praises this attributes of our God. Holiness. After an answered prayer. We mark these words, beloved, that we are to give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Saint praise His holiness. Wicked men should fear His holiness, but all should reverence Him who alone is holy. Let all the inhabitants of the earth stand in awe of Him. Beloved, the reason why there is none holy as the Lord. Again, Hannah describes, there is none beside Thee. Glorious splendor of His majesty surrounds the throne so that holy angels must cover their eyes and fear at His presence. Angelic beings worship the Eternal One, the Holy One, without ceasing. What does there is none mean? Never has been. There never has been any holy like our God. There never has been. There never will be any holy as our God. Neither does exist at the present any holy like our God. We may glance at the recorded history, scrutinize the pages of historians of past civilization. There we may find where men have attempted to make their gods resemble our God. In some of His attributes, in some of His power, in His dominion, in His miracles. And the list continues because man cannot eradicate the Creator from their conscience. But beloved, one attribute which stands out, which none of their idols possess, nor can possess, is His holiness. This alone belongs to our God. Yea, we may look at sacred history, where glimpses of heaven are given to us, and there we find the same answer in sacred history. There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside Him. There is but three revealed in the Scripture which rightfully may be termed holy or called holy. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Men, or sinful men, don't comprehend God's goodness, much less His holiness. Why callest me thou good? There is none good, save one, that is God. Interesting thing is that God Himself declares, there is none beside Him. Would you read with me in Deuteronomy? There is none besides our God. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 39. Look what he says. Oh, and there's so much that Moses reveals for us. He says, know therefore this day and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God. He's God in heaven above and upon the earth beneath. There is none else. How long halt ye between two opinions? See, they knew better. But these earthly toys, these idols which have plagued Israel from the beginning, eventually brought them into captivity. They knew there's only one God. But the time they come to Isaiah, they have multitudes of gods. Moses revealed there is but one God. But the time they come to Isaiah, they made themselves molten images. Isaiah makes fun of them. He says, you know, they pick a skillful craftsmanship and they design a idol, and after they're all through, they fasten it with nails. And there's the mockery. There's the irony. Because he cannot move, because he's fastened by those chains designed by man. Isaiah and the Lord argument against this. And he says so in Isaiah. Would you read with me, please? In Isaiah 40. He says, verse 18, to whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness will you compare unto Him? He says in verse number 25, he says, to whom then will you liken me? What am I like? Or shall I be equal, saith? And notice what he says. The Holy One. Isaiah 41, verse 21. He says, produce your cause. If you're a God, do something. If it's a God, do something. If Baal be God, let him bring down fire from heaven. We'll believe that he is a God. God and Isaiah argument against this. He says, produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your reason, saith the King of Jacob. Look what he says. Let them bring forth. Can you produce? Can you show us what will happen? Because our God knows from the beginning to the end. Yea, He designed the beginning to the end. show us what will happen. Show the things, the former things, what they be. That we may consider them and know the latter end of them, or declare us for to come. Note verse 23. Show us the things that are to come hereafter, that we may know that ye are gods. Do evil. Do good. Do something. Do something. They can't. Now you know why Hannah rejoices in our God. This poor man cried. And he heard me. I mean, there's desperate causes sometimes that drive us. And it seems like God is not hearing us. It seems that heaven is shut. And it's no fancy prayer. It may be as simple as, God, help. Help. That's it. I've often cried that because I don't know what else to say. Help. And the scriptures reveal that he bows down his ear. Hear us. Help. So Hannah says, along with Isaiah, do something. Notice what Isaiah says in verse 23. Do good or do evil that we may be dismayed and behold it together. But then he says, behold, you're nothing and your work of naught. An abomination is he that chooseth you. Isaiah 43, verse 11. He says, I, even I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no Savior. We need that conviction, Brother Don. Though I was thinking, what would I do? I don't want to say as Peter, Lord, do all these forsake you. I won't forsake you, Lord. Skin for skin. I know what I want to do. I know what I want to say. I know what I believe. I think most of us are Peter's rather than Paul's. I don't know about Ben or Brother Joe, but I won't forsake you. You know what? They all denied him. They all denied him. In Isaiah 43, he says, verse 11, I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have said, I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Isaiah 44, verse 6. He says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. And beside me, there is no God. There is no God. And He looks, verse 8, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Haven't I told thee from the time that I've declared it? You are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, God says, there is no God. I know not any. Here is the knowledgeable God who knows all things. He looks and there is no other God. Put away your strange gods. Boy, God's going to meet with you. Jacob. Meanwhile, you have your wife who has her father's idols. And you know about the servants that have their idols. God's going to meet with you, boy. There is one God. There is one place to worship. God requires one heart, one desire, one salvation, one Bible, one Son, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. It all comes to one. We, like Rachel, may hide an excuse. But they have not helped us. These lying vanities have not helped us. Oh, they that follow vain vanities forsake their own mercies. There is none beside our God. There is none holy like our God. His servants acknowledge it. His servants rejoice in it. His servants glory in it. His servants praise Him for it. He alone is God. For Thou art God alone. What does Moses say? See, there's so much in these songs. I love these songs. I love to examine these songs. Because they're not like our songs in our day and time. Oh, they have so much in them. I wish, Brother Joe, I had the talent to be able to put some music to these songs or just sing them, but I don't have it. But I'll read it. And I'll rejoice in it. Because, like Moses and Micah and all the rest, I can say, who, O Lord, is like unto Thee? There is none like unto Thee. Because, O Lord, I was down in the dunghill. That's what Hannah was. And I remind you, that's a polished word for the dump, where the beggars, where the lepers would get their daily sustenance, the refuge from the people, the trash. That's where Hannah was. Feeding among the lowliest. And now she's at the king's table. Can you believe it? I'm at the king's table. I'm one of the king's sons. This is my house. The Pharaoh. The cheapest of birds, Brother Don. Where is your house? This is my house. The king's palace is my house. Where is your place of rest? All swallowed by courts, O Lord of hosts. Oh, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Oh, Lord, if Thou wouldest look upon my affliction, if Thou wouldest grant my petition, for this child, Lord, I pray. His servants acknowledge it. And they rejoice in this. That He alone is God. Revelation would reveal this for us. What are we going to sing in heaven? Revelation 15, of this song of Moses. He says, and I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. What are they going to do, Brother Joe? They're going to sing. Yes, sir. They're going to sing. They're going to sing unto God. It's a sacrifice of our lips, beloved. Sing unto our Lord. Sing unto Him a new song. Come before His presence with singing. You know, I know sometimes we're tired. I know sometimes, you know, the afflictions prevent us from singing, but don't stop singing unto our God. Sing, beloved. What do they sing? Verse 3. They sing this song of Moses, the servant of God. And the song of the Lamb saying, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? Notice what he says, for thou only art holy. All the nations shall come and worship before thee. Every tongue is going to confess. Every knee is going to bow at the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will, brothers. So this morning I tell you, you will bow. Either bow now or you will bow later, but you will bow. Because they have raised themselves against His holy child. And God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. At that name, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue. Woo! Yes. Every tongue's going to confess. Every tongue is not Allah, brother. Woo! Ain't no gun going to give me hell to their head either. They're going to confess. Oh, they're going to confess, brother. Oh, my mind is filling up. I can hear that echo as the sound of roaring waters. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. And we will say, who, O Lord, is like unto Thee? There is none in His holiness. There is none in His power. There is none in like His salvation. There is none in His righteousness. There is none as great as our God. There is none! Is not. So do you rejoice like him? Do you find strength like Hannah? Do you find this preciousness, beauty, strength, and radiance? Oh, read with me, Hannah. Let's go. I don't even know what time we started, Brother Joe. I don't know. I got to give time to my dear brother, Chuck. First time. And Hannah prayed. Not only a prayer, but it's also a song. Who's listening to her? Who's recording this, brother? My heart, she says. Oh, my heart rejoices in me. Blessed are they that mourn. They shall receive consolation. You will receive consolation. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. I rejoice. I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none, he says, There is none holy as the Lord. There is none beside thee. Neither is there any rock like our God. This is Hannah. This was her state before chapter 1. This is her state now as the Lord gives the petition of her heart. May the Lord bless his word.